الصلاة والسلام عليك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين وقائد المحجلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى أهل أصحابه أجمعين، وبعد. So after some of the hiatus, we will resume inshallah reading from the book in Maliki Fiqh. تدريب السالك إلى قراءة أقرب المسالك في مذهب الإمام مالك رضي الله عنه وعنكم أجمعين. So we have reached the chapter dealing with tayammum, sometimes translated as dry ablution. And the word tayammum in Arabic language comes from tayammama, is the verb which means to make an intention for something. So tayammum also is considered to be one of the khasa'is of the Ummah al-Muhammadiyya, so it's one of those specific things that is not found in previous shara'i', in previous law systems that were also divinely prescribed to previous prophets like Moses and Jesus and others. Previously, if they didn't have access to water, then those prayers would have to be made up and they would have to, for however length of time that they were unable to find water, then if it was a week, if it was a month, so forth, they would have to make all of those prayers up. So it's one of the khasa'is, one of the specific things, and one of the gifts Allah has given to the Ummah Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, جُعِدْنِي الْأَرْضُ مَشْجِدًا وَتُهُورًا. The earth has made for me a place of prayer, and tuhur, the earth itself, is a means by which we can seek ritual purification for our prayers, the ritual prayers of Salawat. And wa masjidan, also one can pray anywhere, which is something unique also to the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that we need not necessarily pray in a designated mihrab or a place of prayer. We can pray anywhere as long as that place is free of najasat, of ritually or physically impure things. So tayammum is generally going to be prescribed for one of two major reasons. And then we're going to see a little bit more detail when we start reading from the text. And those two major reasons, either a lack of water or the absence of the ability to use the water, even if it's there. So if the water is cut off, or you're in a place that's far away and there's no access to water, that would be a situation where one could use tayammum. Or if the water is present, but one does not have the ability to access it. So if it was in a well and you don't have the means by which to go down into the well, except put yourself under some sort of danger, then you would not be required to access it unless you have the means by which to access it. And this can also apply to those who would find it or would be determined to be harmful for them to use the water on their skin. So someone may have a skin condition on the advice of a medical doctor to tell them that, you know, you should avoid using water on your skin. It may aggravate the condition you have, or it may delay delay your recovery from that skin condition, or it can bring about a type of discomfort or disease. Then also that's an excuse for one to then use the tayammum. So we'll look at the text. And interestingly enough, the sabab that this tayammum came about, when the verse was revealed, or the ruling was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ was during the sixth century of the Hijrah. He was on one of his campaigns, his expeditions, to a place called Bani Mustalaf. And on their way back, Aisha, she had accompanied the Prophet ﷺ, and she had borrowed a necklace from her sister, Asma bint Abi Bakr, radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with both of them. And she had lost or had fell off the necklace. And so she told the Prophet ﷺ, you know, I can't find the necklace. So the Prophet ﷺ delayed the caravan from embarking, and he sent two of the Sahaba to go and look for the necklace. And the Sahaba went to look for the necklace, and they were searching almost until morning came. And they had to make the prayer, but they had run out of water. And so the whole campaign expedition had run out of water. So by that time, the tayammum was not a legal ruling yet. So they had prayed without the ruling. When they came back to the Prophet ﷺ, they had found the necklace, number one. And number two, when they came back to the Prophet ﷺ, then the hukum or the ruling of the verse dealing with tayammum came down. So they were then able to use the turab or the sa'id of tahir, which is the earth itself, to perform that ritual ablution. So he says, rahimahullah, fasl fi tayammum wa ahkam. So a section dealing with tayammum, dry ablution or dry ritual purification, and its rulings. ويقول وهو طهارة ترابية بدلا عن الطهارة النائية. He describes it or defines it. It is a tahara turabiya. It is a type of ritual purification using turab. Turab meaning dirt, but we will see it's not limited exactly to dirt or sand, but other things of the earth. بدلا عن الطهارة النائية. As a substitute or instead of tahara al-na'iyya, which is water that is used as a ritual purifying agent. So the default is to find water, and we went over the chapter dealing with water and the types of water and purifying water. But when there, as I said, there's a lack of ability to use it or lack of water to begin with, then tahara tayammum is prescribed. Wasababu, sabab, or the cause, why would we use this tahara turabiya? Why would we resort to tayammum or ritual purification with dirt? فقد الكافي من الماء أو وجود مانع كخوف حدوث مرض أو زيادة أو تأخر برء أو خوف كلص أو عطش محترم أو خروج وقت بطلبه أو فقد آلة أو مناول لكمضيض. So he describes several situations here. So the cause or the legal reason why would be allowed to resort to tayammum, and in fact it would be an obligation if there was not water to use. فَقْدُ الْكَافِ مِنَ الْمَاءِ. Number one reason, that there's not enough water to make ablution. And what it means by not enough water, that you have at least enough to do all of the four body parts mentioned in the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, which would be the face and the arms and wiping the head and washing the feet. So if you have a limited amount of water, then al-awla, or what takes precedence, is that you make wudu just with the fara'id, the obligatory parts. But if you don't even have enough for that, right, you have enough, for example, to do like one hand or one arm or part of your face, then it's like it's you don't have water at all. So you need to have enough to do it. So that's one reason. Or there's some preventive, something that prevents you from using the water, even though it may be present, as we described earlier. And we described this either because, based upon medical advice, we're afraid that it will bring about some type of condition or disease, number one. And this can include, for example, if you're in a very cold climate and you don't have the means by which to heat the water, and let's say that you have to do ghusl and not wudu, so that means actually getting, you know, sub-zero temperatures and water on your head and getting your whole body wet, and there's no means by which to heat the water, and maybe you're outside. So if you feel that that is going to be something that is going to be a great hardship, haraj, and maybe even cause a maraj, a type of discomfort or level of sickness, then you have the excuse to use the tayammum in that case. And this actually happened to Sayyidina Abu al-As during one of his expeditions, and he actually made tayammum instead of making ghusl because he didn't have the means by which to heat the water. So either you're afraid of huduth marad, which means a sick, you're not sick right now, but a sickness can come on if you were to use the water. Aw ziyadati, or its increase, so you're already sick and you may get more sick by water touching your skin. أو تأخر برق. Or your recovery will be delayed by using the water. So for any of those three reasons, then you have the rukhsa or the dispensation to do the tayammum. He mentions another reason, أو خوفي كلص, or there is a fear, like what? He says here the example لص, which means thief. So let's say you're standing guard over something you're responsible for, a garden or a house or your car. Your car stalls in the middle of the highway and there's no water to be found. You know that you should go look for it, but you're afraid if you go look for it, then people are going to come steal your tires and take your rims and whatever. You might be at a place where you don't feel comfortable, or you don't want to leave people there that you don't feel comfortable leaving behind. So then this would be an excuse to make tayammum in the area that you are at, and then to pray after that. So khawf. Khawf means you have a legitimate fear of something. So it could be a thief, or it could be an animal, right? Or some type of predatory animal. There's a well, you can see it, it's 100 meters down there, but you see a pack of coyotes hanging around there. You don't want to go confront them. So that also could be a legitimate reason, anything like that. Oh, atashi muhtaram. Here, atash, or the thirst of precious life, like your own. So you're not supposed to use what you're using for drinking water, if you set it aside, in order to make wudu with it. So it's like that water doesn't exist for you. And it's not just your life, any type of life. So that can even be the animals that you have with you. You have a camel, you have a horse, you have a dog. Any of those type of animals, and you have a legitimate sort of legal Islamic right to possess such an animal, then in this case, and obviously human being, then you would not use that water to make wudu, and you would keep it for your drinking water. أو خروج وقت بطلبي, or you have a fear that if you were to look for the water, or if you were to use it, even if you have it, the time would go out. So it could be something like the time is short, like Maghrib or Fajr, you wake up late and you have to take a ghusl, but there's only 2 minutes left before sunrise. What do? You make tayammum in this case, because you have the dispensation, the ruqsa. Because if you were to do the ghusl, you would finish after the time goes out. Same thing, if you feel like you don't have water, but if you have need to go look for it, you feel that, and you're looking for it, if you're somewhere out where you're not familiar with the area, that the time would go out for the prayer, then also, in this case, you would make tayammum. أو فقد آلة أو مناول لكمريض, or like I said, you don't have the means by which to procure the water. So it could be in a well, you don't have the bucket, you don't have the pail, you don't have the rope, you're not going to climb down the well. Or someone who is not in a position to actually get up and move and try to make wudu, so they're confined to a bed or to a wheelchair and you need someone to help you. So if that person is not forthcoming and they're not there, then also you have the option by which to make tayammum. So as we said, to summarize, basically it's either not possessing the water to begin with, or not possessing the means by which to procure it, or not being able to use it for whatever reason, either because of a fear of being able to go get it, or a sickness, or fear of sickness, or delayed recovery, any of those reasons. وَوَجَبَ طَلَبُ إِن لَمْ يَظُنُّ عَدَمَهُ أو خروج الوقت قبله وشراؤه بثمن اعتيدا أو اعتيدا وإن بذمته وطلبه ممن حوله إن لم يعلم بخلهم به ووجب طلبه. And it's obligatory, if you're not possessing in the water and the prayer comes in, say like for Dhuhr, for you to go look, to try to find water. In another text it said you're confined maybe to about a 2 mile radius to look for it, assuming you're traveling and assuming you're in a place you're not familiar with. But if you have a reasonable expectation that you'll find it, there's a store down the road, a convenience store, or you find a public bathroom, and you feel like, on the highway just a little bit down, you can find it, then in this case, it would be obligatory for you to search for it or to seek it.
إن لم يظنوا عدمه أو خروج الوقت قبله.
But on the condition that you don't have a certain or near level of certainty that there's no water to be found. So if you're in the middle of the desert somewhere and your car got stalled and you're stuck in the sand, you're not required to go look 2 miles for it because you have a reasonable expectation you're not going to find it. أو خروج الوقت قبله. Or you have a reasonable certainty that if you go look for it, and by the time you came back into Maghrib, the time would have gone out. So if you're close to the end of like Maghrib time or Asr time, then in this case, you can make tayammum. You don't have to look for it.
وَشِرَاءُهُ بِثَمَنٍ أُعْتِيدَ وَإِنْ بِذِمَّتِي.
And you're required to look for it even if you have to pay for it. But pay for it in something that is the normal price. So if there's a drought, someone is price gouging and they're charging 5 to 10 times more than what usually costs, then you're not required to buy it. In that case, then you can just make payment. And you can tell the guy, you take your water and you keep it there, and I'm paying $20 for a liter of water to make the loop.
وَإِن بِذِمَّتِ.
But you are required to purchase it, even on credit, even if you tell them I'll pay you later and you have to pay them later, if it's at a reasonable price. If it's at the normal price.
وَطَلَبُهُ مِمَّنْ حَوْلَهُ إِلَّا مِيَعْلَمْ بُخْلَهُمْ بِهِ.
Or if there's people around and you can ask them for it, and you know that they might give it to you, then you're required to ask them.
إِلَّا مِيَعْلَمْ بُخْلَهُمْ بِهِ.
Unless you know that they're very stingy and they're going to give it to you, and you have a reasonable certainty about that, then you're not required to do so. But anytime there's a reasonable expectation, you may find it or you can purchase it, and the time is not going to go out, and you don't have to search that far, all those things being considered, then one has to go and try to find the water. And for most people living in most, I would say, Western or North American cities, this is not really an issue most of the time, but for many, many, many people, it is an issue. Many people, they have to walk daily to find their water, and they will have to walk kilometers to find it. And for them to go and come back, maybe they're sick that day and they don't get a chance to walk 5 kilometers or 10 kilometers to go get the water and come back. What do they do that day? Can they make tayammum? They can make tayammum.
وَفَرَائِدُ.
Now he's moving on to the obligatory aspects of it. أَنْ يَنْوِيَ فِي أَوَّلِهِ استباحة ما تيمم له كالصلاة ومس المصحف من الحدث الأصغر وإن كان عليه أكبر نوى الاستباحة من عند كل تيمم حتى يغتسل. So the first thing is the intention at the outset, in the very beginning. في أوله استباحة ما تيمم له. So استباحة ما تيمم له means to have the intention that I am going to make permissible that which was not either to or prior to the tayammum. So I need to have purification, ritual purification to pray and to touch the pages of the mushaf and to make tawaf of the Kaaba, for example. Those three, it's an obligation. So when it's an obligation, then I make the intention either for fard tayammum, that I'm making something an obligation because I need to fulfill another obligation, and this other obligation, such as the prayer, will not be fulfilled until I fulfill the previous or the obligation that is dependent upon it, namely the tayammum or the purification. So he also says here, مِنَ الْحَدَثِ الْأَصْغَرِ. So if you only need wudu or just minor ritual purification, then that should be part of the intention. If you're in a state of janaba, right, or major purification purification, ritual purification, then that should be in the intention that I'm making istibaha, or I'm making that which is normally not permissible, even though I'm in a state of major ritual purification. And you have to do this in every tayammum until you're able to take a bath, a purified bath, or you're able to make wudu. And we will see later on that the tayammum actually only works for one fard prayer. You can't pray two with it. So that's the first obligation, the intention. Then he says, الضربة الأولى على صعيد طاهر. then the first here, it says the first strike. You're not actually striking the earth. It's kind of a metaphor. If you have access, obviously, to Sa'id al-Tahir, we'll describe that in a second, then you're placing the hands on it. So if that's dirt, if it's sand, so forth, you're allowed to kind of do this, to kind of just get some of the dirt off of it. Don't do this, because you don't want to touch the palms of your hand, except on that part that's going to make the tayammum. So you just want to kind of just, enough of which is just to kind of get some of the excess dust and dirt off. So that's called the dhammatul ula, or the first strike. Ala sa'id al-tahir, al sa'id, which is something of the earth, وَوَكُلَّ مَا كَانَ مِنْ أَجْزَاءِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَوْ كَشَبٍ أَوْ حَدِيدٍ مَا دَامَ فِي مَعْدِنِهِ وَأَمَّا التُّرَابُ الرَّمْلُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ فَلَا يَضُرُّ نَقْلُهَا وَالْأَفْضَلُ التُّرَابُ وَلَوْ نُقِلَ. So, the sa'id, or the earth, is anything that is from amongst, is it constitutes or is a composite of the earth. He says here, even aluminum or iron, as long as it's found in its mine. If you move it from its mine, you can't use it, because then you've taken it out of its natural kind of disposition of being part of the earth. But if you find it in its mine, that could be copper, that could be aluminum, as it says here, it could be iron ore. Then, as long as it's in its mine, then you can use that for example. What if you happen to fall upon a gold mine? Well, you're in luck, but you can't use that for example. So gold and silver, because they're considered to be precious metals, or any jauhara. So also, if you find a diamond mine, you know, diamonds, good for you, but not good for tayammum. So as long as it's in its ma'adan, in its mine, then one can use it. أَمَّا التُّرَابُ وَالرَّمْلُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ فَلَيَضُرُّ نَقْلُهَا. But as for dirt and sand and rock or stone, فَلَا يَضُرُّ نَقْلُهَا. You can move it from its place. And many people in North Africa, for example, or some households that I've seen, they actually have like a rock in their house, because that rock can serve as your tayammum rock, you know, and you can like carry it with you, so forth, because it's from the earth. And then you can use that. Well, أفضل التراب ولا نقل. But the best to use, he said, is turab, is dirt, even if you have to move it from somewhere else. You can't use anything that's been treated. So in some countries, for example, they have dirt or clay that's been burned or put under the oven and then made into bricks, and that's treated, and they make their homes from it. You can't use that because it's been treated. However, if it's like in its original adobe and it hasn't been treated and it's just still in mud brick, you can actually use the side of the house to do that. Or if it's still in its original stone and the stone hasn't been treated, or the rock, that also can be used for tayammum. They also said, not mentioned here, but in another text, they said, if you live in a place where it's like tundra or glacier, or everything is ice, then you can use the ice, assuming you don't have the means to melt it into water to use it to form the dew. But if you live in the Arctic, Antarctica, North Alaska, you know, those places, then you can actually make tayammum on the ice, assuming you don't have water. Or maybe it's just too cold to use the water, so you can actually make the tent. So, yeah, I mean, we say it a little bit in jest, but it's actually, subhanAllah, is very beautiful, because no matter what situation you may find yourself in, there's always kind of, you know, the deen has a way to remedy that, to address it. So, we said the first obligation is the intention, the second is the first strike, using the parts of the earth that we said. Then he says, وَمَسْحُ الْوَجْهِ. And مَسْحُ الْيَدَيْنِ إِلَى الْكُرْعَيْنِ بِتَخْلِيلِ الْأَصَابِعِ وَمَسْحُ مَا تَحْتُ الْخَاتِمِ. So the second, or the third obligation, is the last one, is wiping of the whole face, as well as the hands to the wrists. بِتَخْلِيلِ الْأَصَابِعِ, which means that you go in between your fingers. That's an obligation. وَمَسْحَ مَا تَحْتَ الْخَاتِمِ. And also, if you have a ring, you have to remove it. unlike wudu, because water can get underneath, but here we're talking dealing about something that's dirt, it's not the same. So you have to remove the rain or anything that's blocking, you know, I would say a watch too, that's right at the wrist, that would have to be removed. And then you would do the face, and then you would do the hands up into the wrists. That's the fard. The sunnah, actually, we're going to go to the elbow, and we're going to describe how to do that in a second. So the sunan are not obligation, but one should do them and not leave them out. ضربة ثانية لليدين والمسح من الكوعين إلى المرفقين وتقديم الوجه على اليدين. So the sunan are the second strike. In other words, have a separate strike for the hands. So you have one for the face. Then the second time you can get, you know, shake it off. And then you do the arms or the hands. وَتَقْدِيمُ الْوَجْهِ عَلَى الْيَدَيْنِ And to do the face before you do the arms. Yeah, it's all going to be one time. وَفَضَائِلُهُ And the virtues of it are التسمية, saying Bismillah at the beginning. وَبَدْءٌ بِظَاهِرِ الْيُمْنَى بِبَطْنِ أَصَابِعَ يُسْرَاهُ إِلَى الْمِرْفَقَيْنِ ثُمَّ يَمْسَحُ الْبَاطِنِ بِبَطْنِ الرَّاحِلِ لِآخِرِ الْأَصَابِعِ وَالْيُسْرَى كَذَلِكَ So he's describing the best way to do it, which basically, we're going to demonstrate here. So you would have your side tahir, the dirt or sand or ice or antarctica. Put it down. You can shake it off a little bit. And then you go from where the hairline is, the whole face, just like you would, just like that. If you have a beard, you don't have to get your fingers in your beard, nothing like that. Because it's just once this way. Then the second time, shake it off a little bit. Now you're going to take the palm of your left hand, and you have your right arm in front like this, and place the fingers, the four fingers like that. Leave the thumbs alone for now. Then you're going to come back, wipe, and then turn your arm this way. And then you have your hand over here, and you're going to go all the way from the top of the arm to the elbow, a little bit beyond. Turn your arm over, then you come back this way, all the way till you get to your wrist, turn your hand this way, and then go like that while you're doing your thumb. Then you turn them over. Now you're going to go the other arm, same thing. Go like this, come all the way back, turn your arm over, go all the way to the front, go like this, and now you do the top of the thumbs, because maybe it was, yeah, this and this. That's one of the ways that's mentioned in terms of the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it's kind of what he describes here. So you begin with Zahir al-Yumna, right, which is the top of the right, the Batn al-Sabi' al-Yusra, and then the palm of the left, and you go all the way to the elbow, and then you come back from the underneath, and then you do the same thing from the other side. Wal-Yusra kadhalik. And then the left is like that as well. وَشُرُوطُ صِحَّتِهِ شُرُوطُ الصِّحَّةِ which means, what are the conditions of validity? When is it valid to make tamar? When is it not valid? دُخُولُ الْوَقْتِ number one, that the time actually comes in. So you cannot use a tayammum before the time comes in. So dhuhr prayer has not actually come in yet. Dhuhr comes in at 1:15, and it's 1:05, and you make tayammum and say, okay, I'm ready to pray. You cannot pray with that. Time actually has to come in. وَاتِّصَالُهُ بِمَا تَيَمَّمَ لَهُ And also that you pray pretty much immediately after you make tayammum. In other words, the idea is not that you make tayammum, then you're hanging around for an hour and then you decide to pray. Because you should have been looking for water or trying to find the means to use it if that was the case. So then in this case, you should pray almost immediately. What's almost immediately? Yeah, what's considered customarily as immediately. So it should only be really, they said, like reading an ayat of course. you know, it shouldn't be a minute or two, not more than that. And then you go and, you know, maybe if you're going to pray jama'at, so other people are making tayammum, something like that. But otherwise, you should pray right away.
وَلْ يُصَلِّ الْفَرْضَ بِتَيَمُّمٍ لِغَيْرِهِ بِخِلَافِ النَّوَافِلْ إِنِ اتَّصَلَتْ. And you cannot pray using a tayammum you did not intend for the fard. So let's say the time comes in and then you decide to make tayammum to recite the Quran, not to touch pages of the Mus'haf, just to recite it because you want to be able to do it. Well, it's not obligatory to have to purification for that. But that was the intention that you did. And now you want to pray with that, you cannot. Or you made the intention and then you prayed sunnah before the fard. You can't do that either. You would have to redo the tayammum and pray the fard first. So you can pray the sunnah after the fard, but not the sunnah before the fard. So in something like dhuhr prayer, where there's normally a sunnah that you do beforehand, if you're praying with tayammum, you pray the fard, the obligatory prayer, and then if you want to pray the sunnah afterwards, you can, using the same thing. Otherwise, you'd have to use two different tayammum if you're praying sunnah and then fard. That's why it says, بِخِلَافِ النَّوَافِلْ إِنِ اتَّصَلَتْ, right? So that means that you pray the fard and almost immediately afterward you pray the sunnah that comes after it. Generally speaking, he doesn't mention it here, but you can't use the tayammum if you are resident and you are not sick and you want to pray Jum'ah. So the Malikiya say that in this case you would pray Dhuhr because you're making tayammum. Because in this case, they look at the Jum'ah is almost akin to a nafil prayer, almost akin to a voluntary prayer, because even though it's obligatory upon you, it's a substitute for the Dhuhr prayer. And they say the same thing about the Janazah. So if there's a funeral prayer and someone has to pray the funeral prayer, then you shouldn't make them just to pray the funeral prayer unless you're the only one who could do it. They say, إِذَا تَعَيَّنَا. So there's no one else to do the janazah prayer, there's no water, and you're the one who's there, then you can make the tayammum and pray janazah on the deceased. وَيَبْطُلُ تَيَمُّمُ بِمُبْطِلَاتِ الْوُضُوءِ. وَيَبْطُلُ تَيَمُّمُ بِمُبْطِلَاتِ الْوُضُوءِ. And tayammum is nullified by the same things that nullify wudu. So using the bathroom, so forth, all the things you mentioned in wudu was going to nullify tayammum.
وبوجود الماء قبل الصلاة لا فيها إلا ناسيه.
And finding the water or the means by which to use the water before you enter into the prayer. So you got stuck on the side of the road and you said, I don't want to leave the car, it's going to be in trouble, so I'm just going to make a move here. I'll make a tayammum here. And then you do it, and right before you say Allahu Akbar, someone comes by that you know and has a pitcher of water, or a water truck comes by and they offer you one. Then in this case, your tayammum is batil, and you'd have to use that water to make the wudu. However, if you said Allahu Akbar and you're in the prayer, then the water comes, you are not to exit the prayer, your prayer is valid, and you don't have to make it up. You don't have to repeat the prayer. You can if you want, but it's not required. لا فيها إلا ناسي. Unless you're in the prayer, and as you're praying, say, wait a minute, there's actually a liter of water in my backpack, and I forgot about that. Or a liter of water in the trunk of the car, and I forgot about it. Then in this case, you remembering that you have access to water, or you have the water while you're in the prayer, then your prayer is doesn't count. You stop the prayer, and then you go access the water, and then you can pray with that afterwards.
ويتيمم الآيس أول الوقت والراجي آخره والمتردد وسطه.
Here is talking about things that istihbab, يعني things that are recommended but not required. So you're going to be in one of three situations. الآيس أو الراجي أو المتردد. آيس means someone who it's a hopeless situation, they don't think they're going to find water.
or someone going to help them to have access to the water. Then in this case, there's no reason for you to wait. Then pray at the beginning of the prayer because you're not expecting that you're going to have access to it later on. وَالْرَاجِ أَخِرَهُ. However, if you're hopeful, like let's say you're sick and you have a home nurse that comes by at a certain time every day and it's 1 o'clock and they come by at 2, and that still gives you enough time to make wudu and pray, then you wait till 2 o'clock for them to come because you have an expectation that they're coming. That's called الراجي. So you can wait till later in the time to do that. وَالْمُتَرَدِّدُ وَسَطَهُ. The mutaraddid is someone who's not hopeless but is not hopeful. Mutaraddid, not sure. Then the one who's not sure, then they say, wait till the middle of the time. Right? Because there's a possibility someone may come by, or maybe they'll, you know, do a maintenance on your building, and maybe the water will come back within that time. You're not sure when exactly. Then you can wait until the, somewhere in the middle of the time period. فَإِنْ قَدَّمَ الرَّاجِي أَوَ الْمُتَرَدِّدُ صَحَّتْ فِإِنْ وَجَدَ الْمَاءَ فِي الْوَقْتِ أَعَادَ نَدْبًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. However, if al-raji, which is the one who is hopeful, brings it forth earlier, right? So rather than waiting until the end of the time, they said, you know what? I'm not waiting for the nurse. I'm going to pray now. That's it. Then the prayer is valid. أو المتردد, or the same thing for the person who is mutaraddid, the one who is not sure, and they pray at the beginning, also is fine. فِنْ وَجَدَ الْمَاءَ فِي الْوَقْتِ. However, if the water comes, or the person who comes who is going to help them use the water, and there's still enough time to pray, أَعَادَ نَدْبًا. Then they can repeat the prayer, but it's not required. As we said earlier, it's only recommended. Wallahu a'lam. So that's the chapter on Tayammum. The next chapter, which we'll finish with, before we move on to Al-Hayd, or menstruation, is فصل المسح المسح على الجبيرة. So this is wiping on somewhere where you have a wound on the body. So either wiping on the bandage or the cast or something like that. ويقول رحمه الله من كان به جرح أو قرح وخاف بغسل زيادته أو تأخر برء مسح عليه إن استطاع وإلا فعلى الدواء إن لم يستطع فعلى الخرقة التي تلف على الدواء ولا يكثر الطيات بل يتصل على الحاجة. So whoever has a wound, jurh or kurh, which is skin pus or you know some sort of infection on the skin, وخاف بغسل زيادته, and there's a fear based upon medical advice that it will increase the you know the wound will get increased or the skin condition will get worse. أو تأخر برء, or the recovery will be delayed. مسح عليه إن استطاع. Then they are to wipe on that if they're able to, on the wound itself. Right, if it's a wound, right, and it's exposed, if they can do that, like it's a removable bandage or something, and they can remove it to make a wudu on it, or they can't put water on it, but they can kind of just wipe over it, then it's required for them to wipe over that first. However, if that's going to cause a lot of pain, or it's not recommended by the doctors, and they said, no, you have to keep the bandage on it, or don't wipe on it, put a new bandage, then you can wipe on that bandage. وَإِلَّا فَعَلَى الدَّوَاءِ. Here he says, دَوَاءِ here means like if you put cream or something like that, let's say it's a skin burn, and you don't want to put water on the skin burn, but you have like a calendula cream or something like that, that's, or you can wipe over that, what's called the dawa or the cream itself, if you can. If you can't wipe over the cream, then if there's a bandage or some cloth that goes over it, then you can wipe over that cloth. So it all depends upon if you're able to do it or not. ولا يكثر الطيات بل يقتصر على الحاجة. Here, الطيات means only wrap it in as much as you have a need for it. So you don't have to do like 5, 6, 7 rolls around your arm if there's no need for that. So you just do enough that you need to do, and then you can wipe on that. فإن سقطت أو الدواء وفي صلاة بطلت.
So if you had wiped on the bandage, or you had wiped on the cream, and while you're praying, what those things fall off. So maybe the cream was stuck to underneath, and that whole thing fell off. Then you wiped on that. وفي الصلاة بطلت. If you're in the prayer, then the prayer is invalidated. If it fell off, or obviously if you took it off while you're praying. So you'd have to, you know, go put it back on and then wipe again and then come back.
وأما الوضوء فإن بادر بغسل المحل أو مسح أو رد الجبيرة ومسح صح وإلا بطل والله أعلم.
وأما الوضوء, however, we said the prayer is invalidated. What about the wudu? Is that invalidated? He said no.
فإن بادر بغسل المحل.
In other words, you went and you tried to wash it again if it's an arm, or wipe over it again if it's an arm.
أو مسحه أو رد الجبيرة ومسح صح.
So either you went and washed the arm, if it's an arm, or you wiped over it, or you put the jabira, which is the bandage, back on, and then you wiped over that, then the wudu is still valid. You don't have to do the whole thing over again. And then you can go back.
وَإِلَّا بَطَلَ.
However, if none of those things happen, like if only two, three minutes pass by, that's fine. But if you wait half an hour and you didn't do that, then you'd have to do the whole wudu over again.
وَإِلَّا بَطَلَ.
وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. And just incidentally, this is in the Maliki school, the Masha al-Jabira is actually a type of dispensation. In other schools, the Shafi'iyah, for example, stipulate you have to make up all the prayers. So if you had like a broken leg or a broken arm and you had a cast, or whatever how long, this is what I know, the Mu'tamid, for whatever how long, weeks or months that you have to have that on, then you have to, you still pray with that, but you have to repeat all of the prayers. So, madhhab al-wara, some of them say, the madhhab of scrupulousness, but you know, we have the madhhab of rahma, alhamdulillah. So we can just wipe on the jabira, and no prayers need to be repeated. So the next section is dealing with al-hayd, which I rather not start by itself. So we're going to save that until the next time, inshallah. And then that's the last section in tahara. After that, we enter into the chapters dealing with salah, with the prayer itself. Allah ta'ala a'la wa a'lam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
I have a question regarding the jabira. Mm-hmm. If you have any kind of, this is for the arm and the fara'id.
Yeah.
So if it's like a masalan hand, يعني مش الفرائد أو سنة الوضوء.
Hand is what?
Whatever is not for, like mess in the ear, whatever. And this band like full when I was praying doesn't.
It doesn't have any effect. We're only talking about things that are
obligatory. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So that would be the head tube, is the hair.
Yeah.
You know, if you have some type of scalp thing, you'd have to, that counts as well.
I just want to clarify the sunnah of tayammum and the virtues.
So okay.
You said the first one of the sunnah is placing your hand the second time, like before you go into
correct.
The arms.
Yeah.
But the arms is not technically required, right?
From the wrist to the elbow was not part of its sunnah.
Right.
Correct.
So when you were showing us like how to do it,
that's like the complete
part of sunnah, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. And the only virtue mentioned is bismillah,
the tasmiyah, and then starting with the way I showed you exactly. Like the exact manner I showed you, that's a mm-hmm. virtue. Whichever way you wipe the arm it works. But the right. particular way that I showed you, that's a virtue of the thing. Yes. Yeah, like this.
Oh, so you didn't have to be.
Yeah, you have to do tahreem, both sides. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So it's not like one motion. You're just trying to keep it.
The idea is that you don't want the when you touch the two palms, right now they're tayammumized. So you don't want them to
kind of touch anything else, your clothes or anything, except mahal al-tayammum, the thing that you actually make them with. So see how this palm, nothing's happening to it. And then I come like this, tahlil at the same time, I go up, over, come like that,
mm-hmm.
and then all the way like that. Then I take this one over,
mm-hmm.
come all the way like this, and then the two thumbs.
How do you do the two thumbs? It's the top?
Because I'm not using the thumbs in the beginning. See?
Mm-hmm.
So the thumbs at the end, the top and the bottom?
See how the thumb is not involved?
Mm-hmm.
Except here.
Yeah.
And then I put this one on top. All the way. Same thing. This one did it. But now they have this side, this two didn't get done yet. On top of this one, on top of this one.
Mm.
So I go like that, and I go like that. This way was shown to by our Sheikh, Sheikh Ahmed Rayyan in the Azhar itself, by the Jama. So they took it straight from the source.
So you put that before, like, just find a rock that is from the earth and just keep it with you. Like,
yeah, everywhere. Some people do that. Especially when you live in an area where water is cut off a lot. You know, some countries you have 8, 9, 10 hours of the day every day. It's not on.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about, like, if you get stuck in traffic, for example.
That's some, yeah. If you get stuck in traffic, you can't get out. And let's say you don't have the room and you need to pray. It's an exceptional situation, but technically you could pray sitting in your seat of the car and make tayammum with the rock all this while you're driving. Or you're stuck in the Holland Tunnel between New York and New Jersey, and you can't get out. And
you wouldn't have to walk and find a car. And
no, you don't have to do that.
Knock on the window.
No, that's not advisable. The Holland Tunnel or the Lincoln. So
you can hit the pilots.
Then that would be a situation. I would probably pray again after that. But the hibs and waqt, you know, to preservation of the time. And actually, you didn't bring it up here, but what happens if you don't have access to tayammum or water? What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
There's many different opinions about this. Actually, Ibn Abd al-Bahri wrote like a risala about it. Some say you don't have to pray and you don't have to make it up because you don't have the means. You don't have the water and you don't have the tayammum. Others said no, even pray without wudu.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can make it up later. And some said no, pray without wudu, you don't have to make it up later. So different opinions. But I would say, you know, the scrupulous opinion is, no matter what situation you're in, and you don't have access to water or to tayammum, then you just pray for hibs and waqt. And for some people, that's kind of their daily situation. People who are kept in prison, for example, whether justly or unjustly, and the prison doesn't provide the means by which to do that, or at irregular times, what do you do? Then you make the best of that situation in that case. And for some people who are kept in isolation, you don't even know what time of day it is. And you're in the dark.
What if you don't know what time?
Then you try to, at least, you know, your best guess in that situation. You know you have to do five, you know there's so many hours of space between them. May Allah not put us in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, this is.
The same with the prison, right?
Yeah.
If you want to say no.
Yeah, you have to you just make your best guess.
Mm-hmm.
No, unless it's made of stone in its original state or untreated clay bricks. Doesn't count. Bring a lock with you.
You can't
use the dirt that you get off of the seat, you know, the dust that comes up, that doesn't really count. So yeah, that's I mean for the best thing is for people to kind of make preparation before they put yourself in a situation like that. You don't usually know how long the ride is going to be and how many prayers you have to do. So I think it's an obligation to figure all that stuff out before you get on a field and have some sort of plan about what you're going to do about prayers. You know, I found that sometimes it's easy to get up and pray in front of an emergency door, sometimes it's not. It depends upon the situation. But as a minimum, you know, you have to at least pray in your seat. It depends if you felt, for me, if you felt like there was actually no way or there's actually no space or anything for you to pray standing up, then yes, the dispensation is there. But me personally, I make them up if I wind up sitting down, just as a precaution. But I would say if you're in that situation, prayer is valid, inshallah. It is the best that you can.
Can you clarify the cream part? Like, if it's just a cream, you mean, or if it's like a cream with the bandage?
Well, sometimes you don't have a bandage, right? Sometimes, like, if it's a skin burn,
mm-hmm.
and you just have the cream over it. So, what do you do? Well, if you can wipe on that, then without any sort of, consequences, then he said wipe on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you cannot, and then you have to put something over it, then wipe on the thing over it.
If you cannot put anything over it, and it's extremely painful to put it on, and so just can you skip it, go around it?
They said in this case, you'd still have to wipe somehow, unless it's like the majority of your body,
mm-hmm.
then you make tayammum.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a lot of burns, let's say both arms are burned, and maybe the feet, khalas, you have, that's enough. Then in this case, you would make them, you wouldn't wipe on any of that. Not at all. Touching the najasa does not nullify your wudu. It's only if it gets on you, you have to wash it off.
يا رسول الله